Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you wish for.
Good evening, everyone. Yes, indeed. Let's get started. Tonight we have a very interesting program. We actually have all three of the research team, as in Bigfoot, the She-Squatchers. I was very fortunate to have Jen Cruz on the show quite a few months ago, and we went into a doubleheader, but tonight we will be doing a 1 hour with these gals. So, without further ado, sit back, relax, and as they say, here we go.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
There are many mysteries in life that we may not ever come to figure out. One of those mysteries is Bigfoot. When I was younger, I used to think Bigfoot was nothing more than an image on a poster or on a post somewhere where apparently Bigfoot had been discovered. Passing this off as just a simple trick to gather tourism, I soon came to learn years later that this was not a joke and that Bigfoot was indeed very real. There are very few people that I have met in my life who have come face to face with an actual Bigfoot. Some describe the Bigfoot looking blonde, some red, some brown, some afraid, and some very, very tall. But what do we do if we never solve this puzzle? I know of three gals who are on the search for Bigfoot, known as the She-Squatchers. And right now, from what I gather, they're not giving up. Let's meet the team of the She-Squatchers. Jen Cruz, who is a team leader, is a natural-born healer, psychic medium, and animal communicator. She is enrolled in a tribe called the Red Lake Band of Chippewa Indians, located in northern Minnesota. She grew up on a hobby farm in Minnesota and spent much of her free time walking in the woods. She felt very connected to nature. She indicated that her family grew, raised, and gathered and hunted nearly all the food that they ate. This was the point where she began forming the belief that energy is a language that all animals, plants, and spirits speak. Let us now turn next to Jenna Grover, who is also a team member. She had what appeared to be a very normal Christian upbringing on a farm in northern Minnesota. She loved animals and nature. She has been an intuitive sensitive since her youth, but struggled to understand and trust the things she was sensing. She felt spirits were trying to get her attention and that they wanted her to share their experiences with others. Jenna had a near-death experience in 2009, and after she finally awoke from the coma, she felt completely changed by the experience. Suddenly, she had new meaning in life. She wanted more than ever to investigate and expand on her own abilities, to trust her premonitions, and to surround herself with others that shared her interest. Jenna Grover is team member number 2. Finally, Tammy Treschel is the newest team member of all. She is the newest addition and is a huge asset to the team. She has a strong psychic ability. She is an animal communicator, medical intuitive, with clairaudient, clairsentient, and clairvoyant abilities. She can visually see energy fields around living beings, perceived in colored light. Add to this, she is a fearless, woodsy Minnesota girl that feels an immense connection to nature and to all living things. So without further ado, let me introduce to you tonight my guests, Jen Cruz, Jenna Grover, Tammy Treschel, known as the She Squatchers.
Well, hello, ladies, and thank you so much for joining me on the program this evening.
Yes, thank you very much.
So the question I have is, I want you to go back as far as you can remember, and I think we're going to start maybe either spiritual or paranormal here, and I want you to think about a time when you thought to yourself, I don't know if this is spiritual. This seems a little bit unusual. What do you think that time looked like? Who would like to jump in first?
Well, I'll go first. I'm Jen Cruz, and that stuff started for me when I was a very small child. One of the biggest memories that I have was when I was in the kitchen with my mother, and out of my mouth flew the words, "Great Aunt Gladys just died." And I didn't know that before I said it. So I heard myself say it, and then I covered my mouth. I was in shock, and I looked at the clock. It was 11:28 a.m., and my mom was just surprised. And then a little while later in the afternoon, we get a phone call from my grandmother to tell me that Great Aunt Gladys died today. And I said, "What time?" And she said, and I just kept saying, "What time?" And she said, "It was like about 11:30. Yes. And you know, things had happened before that many times, but that was the one that stood out to me as being very prevalent and, you know, confirmed that I was absolutely correct. Great Aunt Gladys never had any children of her own that lived past being an infant. That being said, she didn't have any grandchildren, and my grandmother shared me with her. So she was like another grandma to me. I was her favorite kid in the world.
Interesting. All right. So when you heard that, and then you heard the time that she died or passed away, would be a more softer term here. Would you say that kind of took you back? Did that like bring up some questions in your mind? How did you feel at that moment?
Well, I had always felt a little odd. I knew that the things that I said sometimes scared my parents. Mm-hmm. So I tried not to say those scary things. I tried just to act normal and be normal. Mm-hmm. She was my great aunt on my other side of the family. And they didn't usually talk about my dad's side of the family to my mother. Right. So when the phone call came in and she heard that was true, that again kind of put my mom feeling a little uneasy. So these were things I tried to push away most of my life.
Interesting. All right. Well, we'll get back to you in just a moment. Who, ladies, who would like to go next? All right. Tammy, go for it. Thank you.
Okay. My very first memory is not a pleasant one. I was 4 years old and I was at my grandmother's house, and I was sitting outside on her front steps, and I was sitting outside looking across the street, and I just happened to glance up in this tree, and I see something move, but I couldn't see it unless it moved. And it was really weird. And I was sitting there looking at it. I was trying to figure out what it was. All of a sudden it jumps down out of the tree and starts running across the street at me. And I was like, oh my gosh, that thing wants to get me. You know, I'm 4 years old. So I get up and I try to open the door and I can't get it open. Finally, I get it to open and I run in. And it's coming up the stairs behind me. And as soon as I get in, the door slams behind me. And my mom's like, don't slam the door.
Right, exactly.
I didn't tell her what it was because she wouldn't believe me. But that was my first experience.
I have a question for you about that. Okay, so a couple questions, actually. So the first question I would have is, a lot happens, it seems like, around that age of 3 to 5 years old. All right, so you're 4 years old at the time. And you were just out, just doing, playing in the yard or doing your own thing, right?
I was just sitting on the steps.
So what can you describe for me what, at least in your eyes, mind, this thing looked like? Because did you even turn around to get a good vision of what it was when it was running after you?
It was invisible, but you could see it when it moved. Like, you know, it was clear.
Yes.
It wasn't, I guess clear would be a better word than invisible. It was clear.
Yes.
And it was, I don't know, it was big. That's all I knew. I was 4. So, I mean, big to me, it could have been 8 feet. It could have been 20 feet. But it looked big. If I had to guess, I'd probably say it was probably around 7-8 feet tall. But it ran at me and it was aggressive and I was scared and I just wanted to get away from it.
Question. I've got another question for you here. Did you live anywhere near a wooded area or any kind of we called it a creek or a small channeled river behind your house or near your house at all?
Behind my house or when I was at my grandmother's house?
When you're at your grandmother's house and you saw this in this tree.
No, she lived in Oklahoma. I think it was Tulsa that she was in.
Okay. The reason why I'm asking about the location is because the way you're describing this to me sounds like something that a guest just recently brought up on one of my shows. It sounds exactly like it, and they felt what they experienced was what was called a water spirit. Have you guys ever heard of a water spirit before? Mm-hmm. Something like that. And so, but this person, when they were telling me their story, said that they had their encounter near a ditch that was kind of like an embankment of a wooded area that kind of went up. And all of a sudden they heard something rustle really, really hard, like really aggressive, like really strong. And they could tell that it was coming after them. They couldn't see it, but they described it very similarly with the kind of that invisible motion-like look. And I just wondered, did you ever make any conclusions at all down the line as to what you thought it was?
I actually think mine was a djinn.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Explain to people, especially those that are listening for the first time, what that would be and what that, because I'm just now kind of learning a little bit about that too.
Right. For me, a lot of the Muslim people think that they are demons,
okay.
But for me, it's a dark entity because I'm pagan, I'm a witch. So not everything that is dark is evil to me. But they're a dark entity that, chase after people and can, you know, enter their bodies and take their souls. But that's what I felt like it was when I looked up all these entities. You know, I've had a lot of experience with entities over the years. Mm-hmm. But that is the one that spoke to me. And I was like, that is what that was. It's not a water spirit. I work with all the elements and the elementals. So okay. A water spirit, I know. And actually I'm very comfortable with them, but this was completely different. And it was in a suburb area and it was in a tree across the street from me. And a tree was in front of somebody else's house. So it wasn't near like water or anything like that.
Okay. Just curious, because boy, I've been hearing a little bit more about these lately, and I cannot say I've ever experienced one myself, although I've lived in many different places, you know, but that would have been terrifying. Now, when you ran into the house, though, and did you slam the door behind you, or did the force of whatever this was?
It slammed into the door. And I think that because my grandmother was a very religious woman, She was Irish Catholic. I think that her faith probably kept it from entering into the house.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. Okay, good. Thank you. Jenna, you're up.
Yes. I'm up. Whoop, whoop. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So the first time, well, actually, you know, when you're young, you think it's normal. You kind of just let it happen. I remember I started trying to heal my aunt's hands with my hands because she had terrible arthritis. And this is something that I just started doing by myself. I had no idea. I'd never done it before, but it was natural for me to grab her hand and hold her hand. And she would always say afterwards, and this is, you know, I was younger, and she'd always say, oh my gosh, how do you do that? You know, and I didn't know, but it wasn't until, and this is the exciting part, this is when it really hit me that this is scary. To me, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
And I was in my room and it was night. I had come upstairs, looked, and there was a bright blue cross, probably about 5 feet high. And I mean, I can't even explain the ominous feeling.
Was it like a hologram look?
No. This was just like, it was beaming. It was a cross. It was like this beautiful cross that was just beaming to me. And at the time I had been so into ghosts and, you know, I was really afraid that it was going to turn upside down. And now I could just kick myself because you go back and you think, oh my gosh, these were such amazing experiences. Why didn't I? But you're young, so you don't get it all the time.
Right. Yeah. I have a question for you on that. Okay. So was there anything going on in your life at that particular time that you think that whatever that cross was, as to why it showed itself to you, at that particular time, why not another time? Do you remember anything significant that was going on at that time that all of a sudden you can sit and think back and go, maybe. Have you ever thought about that at all?
Oh yeah. I mean, you look at it and like I said, I was in having parties in my basement and we'd go on the Ouija board. So, and that wasn't exactly around that time, but I had had a cross that had been passed down by my brother. So, I mean, we're very, very, you know, religious and it just came out. And I think maybe it was just to say, hey, open up your eyes, little girl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
interesting though. I have never heard of that yet. I thought I've heard of everything, right? I am just still acquiring all kinds of interesting tidbits and knowledge. And every time you think, oh, I'm done, I think I've seen it all or heard it all or been through it all, something else presents itself and you're like, what on earth was that? Okay. So I have a lot of those moments in my life. Very interesting. All right. So now you guys have started the ball rolling in your lives. All right. I say that it may even have started before then, because I had someone recently tell me in a brief interview with them that they think that some of the issues that I'm going through now, I thought I was attributing all this to trauma for a while and also generational genetics and stuff like that. And she said, no. She says, I think it goes back a little bit further than that. And I'm thinking to myself going, I don't recall. So would this be fair to say with all of you that this would be, all these memories would be your youngest memories? Or do you think that you had an experience of some sort going back before then that maybe your memory just didn't hold? What do you think?
I think that's 100% true. I think we all hold memories that we can't, you know, that are in there. They're just not coming out at the time.
Yeah. Tell everybody, I think this is a good point now or a part. Tell everybody a little bit. Now, I have a nice extensive little biography of each of you that started out the show, and very interesting. All of you have a different angle to yourselves. And so, Jen, let's start out with you, because I've had Jen on my shows before. Thank you very much. And I learned a lot about the different types of stories that you've told. Now, the other two ladies, I haven't yet, but in the future, hope to have you back, all of you again. Jen, why don't you, if you wouldn't mind, giving people just a little bit of a snippet of kind of your background and what you would consider yourself to be now. with your talents, your abilities.
Okay. I'm a psychic medium. I'm considered to be a natural born healer. And I'm part Native American. I'm a tribal member of the Red Lake Band of Chippewa Indians in northern Minnesota. And I think some of those abilities come from that lineage, because I hear that my great grandfather was quite gifted. That, you know, I think that those abilities, I'm very connected with nature spirits, water spirits. I actually have conversations with them, and have a video of them too. So, you know, I'm very connected to those things mm-hmm. in a positive way.
Yep. Yeah, Jen showed me a video. Are we talking about the same one here with the golden, what looks yes. like a golden orb that approached you at a lake? And I don't know if it was, I can't remember, it was swirling around you and very fascinating situation. And then I saw the video that you sent me, very interesting stuff. Yeah. Tammy, what would you consider yourself and your abilities to be in respect to helping others here?
Well, I'm also a psychic medium. I have a lot of connection with nature, with animals, also because of, you know, my religion. But I was able always to communicate with birds and other animals. You know, I think understand what I say. I've rescued birds and animals. My daughter, actually, when she was a baby, was having a seizure, and I put my hands on her and stopped her seizure. I have not really pursued that part of it very much. That is like when I need it, it's there. But for the most part, you know, I'm pagan. I'm a witch. I'm an animal communicator. I can see auras. I help people out. I have ghosts talk to me in my ear. I have spirit tell me things that I need to do, and I just do whatever they tell me to do. So
yeah, it's interesting. So is it fair for me to say that you have clairaudient abilities, clairsentient, clairvoyant, obviously. Are you telepathic? Yes, I think so. And are you at all telekinetic?
A little. I mean, I think if I pursued it, that I can probably get a lot better at it. But yeah, I've sat there with the bowl and a little piece of sponge, you know, and pushed it across the bowl with my mind, but I haven't really, you know, I would love to be able to be like, give my keys.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Especially if you can't find something.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't want to. Cause I kind of live that life, but I'm just like, oh, I can't retrieve them, but I will insert a quickie here before we get to Jenna. So have you ever heard of the terminology aporting, deporting, objects that appear and then disappear? Have you ever heard of that before?
That happened.
So I had a situation where, you know, when you get older or at any age, I guess it doesn't really matter how old, but I have a thyroid issue. And so I aimed, you know, you get tired of just popping pills every morning. So anyway, here I popped the pill and I missed my mouth. Okay, yeah, all right, fine. So where do you think it goes? On the floor. That's where you think it goes, right? And it vanished. I mean, completely into midair, it vanished. And so I said, well, no problem here. I've got extra pills here. I'm not too concerned and worried. And 2 weeks later, and it was about 2 weeks, so I was getting in and out of my bed, and I have a raspberry comforter that goes on top. And I was taking a shower, so I took my jammies off and I threw them on the bed. You know, what else do people do? When I came out from the shower, the kid you not, I picked up my jammies and my purple pill was sitting right there underneath my jammies. And I looked down and I said, it almost looked like there was little tiny chew marks on it, but I remember at least hitting my mouth and, you know, and then it just completely disappeared. And all I did is I said, thank you. You know, it was the weirdest thing that had ever happened, but I have these really weird things happening all the time. Have you guys, Jenna, before we get to you, have you guys ever heard of any aport situations or deport things? Come and they disappear and then they reappear. Any of you have ever had that before?
That happens to me, but I always thought it was just an entity stealing it from me, like a fairy or a ghost or something. And I'd be like, you know, like my hairbrush, all of a sudden I set it right there. I yep. turned around and turned back and it's not there. So I'm yep. like, you know what? I need my hairbrush. I need it now. So I'm going to leave the room and I'll be back in 5 minutes and it better be there. And it'll
yep. be there. Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. I've heard of that. Jenna and Jen, any situations with you?
Go ahead, Jen.
Yeah. I mean, same thing for me. Keys used to be an issue for me. And sometimes hair ties or hair clips, you know, I know that they're right there. I keep them right there. I have excess clips there and then they're not there.
Yeah.
So, and then I'm like, okay, something's messing with me.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Interesting. Jen?
Me?
Jen? Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know, that's okay. I just lost a deodorant cap. It just disappeared. I've searched the entire house. So it has happened to me, but I've got such a bad memory. I can't blame anyone but myself right now. So, although I forgot the question now, your original question you were asking everybody.
I forgot it too. I'm just sitting here going, all of a sudden I'm in another land, but I do want to go back to that first question. I guess I want to go back to what did I ask? Tammy and Jen, help me out here, because what I do is when I start marching forward, I just kind of keep marching forward here. Do you remember what I asked you?
You asked what gifts we had.
Yes.
From where we started and where we are now.
Thank you. I'm not worthy. Thank you.
I'm not either.
I'm not worthy. I mean, it's just, I'm not kidding. I start moving ahead and I just don't look back. All right. So Jenna, what kind of gifts do you have that you can feel that that you extend a lot to people, the people that need you around you?
You know, honestly, I call myself a jack of all trades, because when it's needed, it comes to me, whether it's giving a message from someone who has passed, whether it is, you know, just caring for someone, just sitting by them or smiling at them, you know, it just comes. So it's an amazing, I don't know how else to say it, but I mean, I see things, I communicate with spirit at the times that it's needed and it's necessary, if that makes sense.
Yes. And I was going to ask you a question about that. Do you feel that your frequency lights up at any particular point when you're having those experiences?
I think it does. I really,
Have you ever walked through an electrical cobweb before?
I don't think I have.
All right. Ladies, have you ever walked through an electrical cobweb before? Do you know what I'm referring to?
I've driven through things that I knew the energy was completely different. And I immediately said, what happened here since the last time we were here? Because something bad happened here. And it's interesting because the person that I was with was also sensitive and also could feel it. So, you know, it's kind of like we confirm each other on those things.
Yeah, it's interesting. Tammy, have you ever walked through one? Because you've got a lot of gifts too here. And so in order for us to really, as sensitives, empaths, and we really feel other people's and the energies around us, sometimes there's just energies that we just cannot explain. Anything with you?
Yeah, lots of things. Anyway, anything from, you know, somebody walking into a room and you're just like, whoa, bad person.
Yeah.
to walking down the street and being like, okay, that building was not there last time I walked down here yesterday, you know, or I've even seen realities or realms shift in front of my face.
Oh, interesting.
Like based on a decision that you make, I'm sitting there and I was having a conversation with my husband at the time, and I had made a decision, and all of a sudden this glittery glowing gold wall appeared and it went shh, and then it came rushing at us. It's like, okay, this is the path you chose. This is where we're going next.
Interesting. Jenna, I need to ask you the same kind of question. Now, did you not say a minute ago that you have abilities at times to be able to see what maybe others cannot see?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So can you remember the last time that you had an experience or an encounter where you saw something and maybe made a comment about it, but someone next to you is kind of going, I have absolutely no idea what you're looking at. Do you go in, do you have those situations very much?
When I see things like that, it's nothing that I want to tell anybody about. Mm-hmm. You know, it would make me sound, the things that I'm seeing aren't normal things that I'm seeing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like, I've seen little beings with dragon type. And it was just pushing over my pillows. And I was like, what in the heck is this? And in fact, I think I emailed Tammy and I said, what the heck is this? And I told her, I drew a picture of it and things like that. So, but what was your question though? Sorry.
No, just the idea that if you've ever seen things, which you've answered, and I just, it's kind of like when you bring that up, the very first thing that hits me is that something to do with the fae or a fairy or something of that line? Tammy, what do you think?
I think in that instance, I think it was a gnome, wasn't it? Was it a gnome or a troll?
Oh, no. I think it was actually, you said it was something else from the underworld or something. I don't remember.
Yep. I don't remember what it was either, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And you said those are little shits. Excuse my language.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Good one. But very important here, because sometimes people are seeing things like this stuff and they think, oh my God, I can't tell anybody. They're going to think I'm absolutely lost my mind. And so,
that's why. Yeah, tell people like us, you know.
Yeah, well, and until they learn about who you are so they can freely have a conversation about that. Okay, now, as a collective group here, I need to know how you guys came together, because as most people are now aware, they are named the She Squatchers. They are Bigfoot researchers, and you've been doing this for quite a while. I can't remember when you guys started. Someone take it from there and kind of fill us in a little bit about how it all began for you and what was your first experience like and stuff like that.
It began for me in 2015 when I, on my former paranormal radio show, I interviewed Lauren Coleman, the cryptozoologist who has the International Cryptozoology Museum in the state of Maine. And I had a sit down in person interview with him for over an hour. And at that time, I didn't know anything about Bigfoot. I just thought this would be a good interview. Yeah. And let me just say that he educated me on Bigfoot at that moment. Mm-hmm. We were in my home state of Minnesota at the time. He assured me that Bigfoot was in my state, which I had a hard time believing because I grew up in the woods with my mom and always in the woods. And I had never seen anything to make me think that there was such a thing as Bigfoot. Yeah. And he had the idea of sending women into the woods alone without men, dogs, or guns, just women. And he thought this would be the recipe for success in connecting with or getting closer to and interacting with Bigfoot. Okay. And he said a lot of the times when people see Bigfoot near roadways, it's usually just one Bigfoot. It's not usually a family unit. It's one younger male, probably just into adulthood, or maybe he's a teenager, just out and about, probably in the places he's not supposed to be. And so he thought these younger male Bigfoots would be a little more inclined to come closer, more curious about getting to know what are these women about. And so at first I kind of jokingly volunteered during the interview, but by the end of the interview, I was serious. I'm like, all right, I'm going to find some ladies. We're going to try this out. I've almost felt like it was a challenge to go see, is there really a Bigfoot and is it really here in Minnesota? And so that's how we got started out. These girls weren't with me the first time out because actually I was embarrassed to tell anybody that were my friends that I was going to go look for Bigfoot, because I was embarrassed. I didn't believe in Bigfoot. I still didn't believe in Bigfoot. And after I went out the first time and actually had an encounter, I was hooked. It was like a total adrenaline rush for me. It was way more fun than paranormal investigating. Although the ladies who I had taken with me were primarily paranormal investigators, and most of them were so scared. They're like, okay, this is way scarier than crucifixes flying off the wall at us. I don't know if I really want to find Bigfoot anymore. This is too scary. Mm-hmm. And so it it didn't work out for, with the majority of them. So I went home, told Jenna what I did over the weekend. She was so mad at me that I didn't take her with. And I also told Tammy they didn't know each other, but they were both my friends. And, you know, I invited both of them to be with me to do this, but it didn't work out for Tammy to join us right away, but she did join us when it was convenient and it worked out. And we've been the perfect triangle ever since.
Do you think your energy now between all of you as a threesome has anything to do with your abilities to either attract and or, I don't want to use the word conjure up, but sometimes I want to use the word conjure here. Bigfoot, when you're out, wherever you're out roaming, do you think that there's a different mix of ingredients here amongst you to make things happen a little bit more? Thoughts on that?
Tammy?
We. Oh.
Go ahead, Jay.
Okay. Yes. To a point, I mean, we use remote viewing, so we can look at a map and see where Bigfoot is already prevalent in the area before we get there. And then we look again right before we go or right when we get there and see if there's one there. But yeah, I think that when you seek something, it's going to also seek you in return. You're going to be, the energies are going to be attracted to each other and it's going to bring you together.
Okay, so Jen, when you had other teammates before Tammy and Jenna, were you having a similar experience? Because I'm trying to figure out here if your energies of what you guys bring to the table as a group of what you are, of three, is what is giving you more success, or if it doesn't seem to matter that whoever you had with you before, Jen, was still bringing about the success. What are your thoughts?
So the first time I went out, I'm also a Reiki master teacher, so I feel energy on a physical level. It's a physical sensation to me. And I was asking to feel the energy of Bigfoot because every living thing has its own energy frequency that's separate and different to itself. And so I was asking to feel the energy of Bigfoot. And when we were coming through this particular area of interest, I felt this vibration that I hadn't felt before. We stopped, we got out, we looked around. I didn't see anything that would lead us to believe that Bigfoot was there, but I dropped a GPS pin and recorded the location. I said, we are coming back here tonight after dark. And that is where all the magic happened. That was where all the scary stuff happened. Wow. And so, you know, if I'm going to say that they was already there, there had been an encounter that a young native male had a few weeks prior to that, close to that area. Yeah. And so they were already there. It's not like we called them in. But as far as when us three are together, definitely, I think that we have this good chemistry and this good vibe, because we actually caught a thermal video, a quite lengthy thermal video of a Bigfoot in Tennessee, where we had remote viewed, located where they were on the top of this mountain, drove up there, parked the car. We still had Wi-Fi so I could access Google Maps and satellite imagery. And I asked, is there a Bigfoot here right now? Are there any here right now? And I saw one, and I did use the measuring tool, and I said, there's one about 30 feet from the car that way. And Tammy grabbed Jenna's FLIR thermal camera because it's dark, we can't see anything. Right. And she saw one there, and she can tell you the rest of that story.
Jenna
or Tammy?
Tammy. Yeah, so I grabbed the thermal. It's my first time ever using a FLIR thermal camera. So I turned it on, but I couldn't get it to record. So I'm going through the different settings, and we got it on black hot. And I was looking through it. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's right there. It's right there. I see it. It's sitting up against the tree. It's in front of the tree. It's doing something with its arms. How do I record? How do I get this thing to record? Touching the buttons. Nope. And I'm like, oh my gosh, guys, how do I get this thing to record? Finally, Jenna comes over, and she comes over, just boop, pushes the button.
But it's recording. Dark.
Like an old pro, right there, Jenna.
It was her camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Jenna's camera, so she knew. But before it recorded, he lifted his arm up and there's this long hair hanging down. And I'm like, oh, look at that, guys.
How many and feet away?
Looks white.
How many feet away were you at that time?
About 30 feet.
Yeah.
30. And I was not quiet. We were not quiet at all. No. I'm like, oh my gosh, how do I record? You know, blah, blah, blah. And he didn't run away.
Could
and
you?
We never thought to get any closer to him.
Could you?
I stayed where I was and he stayed where he was and he let me record him for 13 minutes.
Could you tell from its body language and standing there if it knew that you were standing where you were?
Oh, yeah. It knew I was there. It knew I was there. And, you know, it looked like he was like skinning an animal or something. He had something in his hands that was warm. But you couldn't see anything other than the heat signature. But yeah. That's what it kind of looked like to me, is that he was skinning an animal or something, because whatever he had in his hands, it was warm and he was working with it. And it was hard to tell. At first, to me, it looked like he was sitting up against a tree with his legs propped up. Mm-hmm. But when one of our friends who was with us, Matthew Delf of Micro, went back a few days later to look at the area, he said, no, there was actually like a shelf there. And he was like using it as a table, and that he was working with it as a table. But yeah, he totally knew we were there. I mean, we were not quiet at all. At all. And, you know, we were talking the entire time and passing the FLIR back and forth. And he's like, whatever, I'm doing this. You do you. He was not aggressive at all. He never tried to run away, but he never was angry at us or anything like that. And we didn't try to get any closer. We just respected each other's distance and got the footage.
So how long did you make the decision to stay there for? Because if I saw something like that, I don't know if I would have left really quickly. I would, you know how it is. It's like, no, you leave. No, you leave. That kind of thing.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, actually, you know, we got 13 minutes of footage and then I'm like, okay, that's enough. You know,
yeah.
We got 13 minutes of footage. That's enough. So we turned away and we started doing something else. And when we glanced back, then he was gone.
Wow. That's pretty intense. That's intense stuff. And so it came to you like a thermal on your thermal camera. Boy, wouldn't that have been something if it actually, I don't want to say charged you, but approached you in any way. I've just, Jenna, so it was your camera at the time and everything. I have had experiences with my cameras before where things have been erased by stuff that has decided that it doesn't want me to show the world. And so there's nothing a person can do if that happens. I am surprised. So no erasey on your camera there, Jenna?
Oh, I've got plenty of erasey. I actually had a GoPro on one time and it was set to take photos or video. It was set to take video. And I was so excited because we had found this amazing structure. I was so excited. And then I turned it on and it was all pictures and they were all like, bring. I mean, they looked just,
Yeah. Yeah.
It was perfect. And I have to say this, I was inside the structure when these pictures were happening. So.
And even at that point.
That was the interesting thing about that is that I had multiple devices that I was recording with and mine turned out fine. Jenna went inside the structure, and when she went inside the structure, both of her cameras, the GoPro that was doing video and the high end, like beautiful camera that she was taking pictures with, both of them malfunctioned. Her GoPro went into taking still pictures. All of them were extremely blurry. And then her really expensive camera, all those pictures came out blurry too. So it was really strange. She went in there, everything malfunctioned. I stayed outside and my stuff worked fine.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that question. That was the question. I was going to say, there seems to be an interesting thing now where I'm talking to people about, when I use my older equipment or whatever, no problem. I can capture this stuff. When I use my newer equipment, blah, blah, blah. For some reason, I don't know, like you said, malfunctions, doesn't show it, yada, yada, has a filter on it or an internal filter that will filter this stuff out. There's all kinds of things that can happen. Jen, did you say your equipment or your cameras that you had were a little bit older or were they more up to date?
I was using, I had my cell phone camera, which was pretty high tech at the time. Mm-hmm. It was the highest end model that there was. Mm-hmm. And then I also had a video camera, which was an older model. So it wasn't like crisp 1080p or anything like that. It was more like 720, but it was still functioning fine. Yeah. We were having trouble losing light because in the forest, it gets a lot darker inside of these structures before the sun goes down. So we were having trouble with the light. And then another time when we went back to that structure, it was really strange because I had marked the GPS coordinates. We knew exactly where it was. And when we approached the structure, I was convinced it wasn't it. Hmm. And I think Jenna didn't think it was it either at first. Hmm. And so we like walked around looking for it. And I just felt compelled to walk further and further into the forest when I knew it was only 75 feet off the trail that we drove in on. So, and then when I finally came up on it from around the backside, I'm like, well, what was I thinking before? Of course, this is it. And all of a sudden, it's getting dark out and we're losing light. Yeah. And so we brought out the night equipment and everything went dead.
Yeah.
Like all of our night stuff went dead. Our flashlights that have like a one that has like a 6 month charge on it. It was just charged up, you know, all the cameras, even the person that was with us, all that stuff went dead. And he went back to the car and I just had 13% left on my cell phone. So I took that out and I had two headlamps in my pack that still worked. And there we were still trying to do something in the dark.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, just please don't approach me so I can get a decent picture of you. Which is the next question I have. So, okay, 30 feet. You're seeing this on the thermal. You've been doing this a while. How often do you guys go out to search for Bigfoot? How often would you say you do this?
Together, usually when we get together at events.
At events?
Yeah, or
whenever we have the opportunity to do it is when we go. So right now we're living states apart from each other. Tammy's moved away from us. When we go to events, we try to stay longer or get together with people from those areas and go to hot spots in those areas. So we've been really blessed to be able to travel around and research Bigfoot in all these other states that are far from home. And that's been really awesome. We're like, hey, this was in Tennessee and hey, this was, you know, what we found in North Carolina, you know, we're just very lucky to be able to go and speak at conventions or conferences and then get to go look for Bigfoot in those areas as well.
So I have a question for all of you. I don't know who wants to take this one or if you all want to jump in with your perspective. So I know I'm an artist. I'm in an art gallery in up in the Two Harbors area, which is a great place to be for tourists. And I have a manager who may or may not be watching this program at this time, but she explained to me, or she told me about a situation. She has a kind of like a cabin house, you know, out in the middle of the woods, kind of remote, lots of trees around up there. And she was hearing these really ungodly sounds, you know, like this roar that just didn't make any sense to her. And then she would kind of go into the house or whatever when she'd hear that. And I thought to myself, I thought of you guys, and I thought to myself, is Bigfoot making its way down to Minnesota, further down, or has it always been in different parts of Minnesota? And it just so happens that on that day that it may have been in her woods, because she said it was just horrifying sound and stuff. And this was kind of in the Two Harbors area. So what are your thoughts about that with Bigfoot in some of these remote wooded areas?
Definitely Bigfoot is in Minnesota. Definitely.
Yeah.
And we, being the land of 10,000 lakes, Bigfoot would love Minnesota because Bigfoot loves wetland areas and especially the swampy, marshy bogs that people aren't usually in, or the deep forests. But there's been so many reports of them in garbage dumps and garbage cans and gathering foods that way as well, and in people's gardens as well. So they're coming in closer to where people are. I think that they probably always have. And a lot of the times people would be too scared to tell anybody that they thought they had a Bigfoot or that they saw the Bigfoot. Also in Minnesota, you have a lot of Indian reservations.
Yes.
And most of the people who are seeing Bigfoot or encountering Bigfoot on Indian reservations, they don't think that they should tell people like us or like Bigfoot researchers or make a report of this, because when it means something else to them, like they feel like this is a spiritual message that they saw Bigfoot and it means something personal in their life. So if they talk to somebody about it, they'd probably talk to their spiritual advisor to help them interpret what does this mean as a message to me in my life that they saw Bigfoot.
Interesting. Tammy, you moved away. I don't know how far, but did you move away into an area that is wooded enough to maybe have Bigfoot come and hang out?
No, I moved to the beach.
Moved to the beach?
I like the beach. I moved away from the cold of Minnesota to be where it's warm and where the sun is. So I'm not sure whose internet connection is slow, if it's mine or if it's yours, but there are sightings. There's actually been sightings like 20 minutes from my house. There are woods, there are creeks, there is forest. I just don't happen to live in that area. I live in a neighborhood. But yeah, there have been sightings, and there's even been sightings of Dogman near here too. So plenty going on.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. Jenna, how about you? What's your thoughts on all of this? Where you live, or what do you know about some of these things kind of making their way around?
I think with all the garbage that we've got and all the waste that we have, all of the animals are starting to come in. And I don't believe that Bigfoot is an animal. I believe he's like us. It's another us. Just hairy. But I really think that everything is starting to come in. We're not good at what we're doing right now as human beings. We need to better ourselves.
In your minds, what do you think is the tallest either reported Bigfoot? How tall do you think has been the... Oh, there's the bell, but we're okay. Hang on. Sorry, everybody. We're still good here. Apologies. I still want to know, I still have a couple questions and we're still good. So how tall that you know of has been the reported Bigfoot? What are your thoughts?
I think that generally people report them to the males to be 7 to 12 feet tall, but I think typically they're coming into 8 to 9 feet. I have heard reports of people saying 20 feet, but I don't know about that.
20? I've heard in Scotland that there's one that's 20 feet tall.
20?
Yeah. 20.
Yeah, in Scotland. It's called the gray man. Hairy man, I think.
Really? That's like unimaginable. I mean, when you think about it, that's unimaginable.
Yeah.
I assume that this thing hangs out in the woods somewhere in Scotland or something.
It was far, far away from people. I think it was on a mountain.
Interesting.
I do think that the Sasquatch in the northern parts of the region where it's colder, like Minnesota, Canada, I think they're larger just because we have to be larger up here to sustain ourselves in the cold winters. I think that the southern United States Bigfoots are probably smaller, and they're also a little bit seem to be more aggressive.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So now I have another little mini clip, and I want to get these stories in because I want to get your ideas and thoughts to it. I have met a person. I talked to her in length who actually came face to face with a Bigfoot, like 2 inches. And her story goes like this. And I believe that she was, I cannot recall. I think it was like Kentucky, West Virginia, Tennessee, something like that area. Well, anyway, she was out looking for UFOs and she followed what she thought was a UFO. So she went on this remote drive, road, kind of like went out into the middle of nowhere, and she got a flat tire and then she got kind of stuck. And so she couldn't get out of there. All right. So she got out because she saw cell towers. You know how it is. You're only on 10% charge when you really need your phone. And you're like, you must be kidding me, right? And so she had to get out and she had to walk because she wanted to get as close to a cell tower as much as possible so she could get some reception. She walked and walked and walked and walked, and then she got tired, but she also knew that the area was also cougar country. And she also learned that when you're in cougar country, that you have to make yourself big, because these things will have no fear in attacking and chewing you up alive. But she was so tired, and she laid down on the ground, and she awoke to something sniffing her. And she thought, oh dear God, this is a cougar. It's going to eat me. And it stinks really badly too. Okay. Yeah, I know. It's just like something that needed a good blast of deodorant. Okay. So anyway, she said, well, I only have one shot here. I get up, I try to scare it away. I can't just lay here and get chewed on and mauled on to death. So she jumps up and she realizes that this thing that is actually very smelly is, I think she described it to be like a 8 to 10 foot Sasquatch. She looked right up at its face. It kind of went, ah! He looked down at her face and kind of went, ah! And then, yeah, I know. And it actually took off running back into the forest. So she also described that she had seen in that area as well, two blonde Sasquatches that were together, like a male-female pairing, and they were, you know, heading out into the woods. But this isn't the blonde one. This was more of a brownish one, but she did actually visually see a blonde one. So if you watch the introduction to your show here, you will see that I have all kinds of colors and what are they and where do they live and all that sort of thing. So what are your thoughts on the fact that this one was a little bit more shy and scared and just took off running? Any thoughts on that at all?
Honestly, I think it probably thought she was dead or hurt or maimed or something. It was just checking it out, and it was probably... It's going to happen to anybody. We get shocked. I mean, that's just natural. It's a natural reaction for animals, for beings.
Yeah. So you think that because just the heart falling out of her chest, you know, in and of itself, you can't tell me that thing did not feel that, you know, and couldn't see the fear and the terror when she looked up and realized that it was, you know, they're looking right at each other. I mean, it's kind of amazing because people have different conclusions about these animals. And I think one of you is an animal, one or two, a couple of you are animal, maybe all three of you, animal communicators, kind of like that kind of thing. And what would you say when we talk about animals? Because if when they, as a communication thing, they don't always communicate the way that we think they're communicating with us. What would you say about being an animal communicator?
Oh, I think she's
well for me.
Do you want me to answer?
Jump in, ladies.
If somebody's looking at you, oh, sorry, I have a lag in my thing, so I can't see who's talking.
Oh, go ahead, Tammy. I was kind of waiting for one of you guys because I do all the talking all the time.
Well, for me, if somebody, you know, you see somebody and you're like, oh, and they'll go, oh, you know, just because you're not expecting each other. So
exactly. That's what I was trying to say.
But but as far as communication goes, I mean, how they communicate, I think that they are very, very aware of our energies. And I think that can they mind speak? Yeah, possibly. I mean, I'm not saying that they can't, but definitely I think that they can read your energy and know your intention by the energy that you're presenting. So they react to your energy.
Yeah, I agree. Jenna, do you agree or do you have a different twist?
I agree with everything she just said. So,
yeah. Jen?
I think emotion has a lot to do with that because emotion isn't as magnetic in frequency. And so when a person has good intention and they're not intending to kill something or harm something, I think that anything can feel that. Everything can feel that. And especially Bigfoot and every other. I mean, I think that predators in general have a sense for things that are scared, because if you're hurt, if you're sick, and you're going to have if you're very sick and you could do a long, lengthy death in nature, predators are going to pick up on that fear, right? And it's like ringing their doorbell. And I've heard people say things like, bees can smell you and they can smell fear. I'm like, they're not smelling fear. It's an energy that we put off.
No, I agree. When we, yeah. I agree. I would agree. Do the rest of you agree with that? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I agree with that. Sharks do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would like, now that we're on our time here, I do want you guys to talk a little bit about how people can reach out to you, where's the best place that they can find and read more about you, and hear you and see you, because I know that you have a couple events coming up and this will play well before those events. So take it from there. How can people get a hold of you if they need to?
We do have a website. It's shesquatchers.com. And there's all kinds of links there to where you can find us online. We are prevalently on YouTube. So She Squatchers Official on YouTube, also on Facebook and Instagram for what's really going on in our most recent moments.
Thank you, ladies.